Hysteria is brought to you by Lola Blankets. Ooh, my personal wind-down ritual. What I love to do is lie down and be underneath a blanket. That is my favorite thing. Lie down, be underneath a blanket. Put on a TV show that I've already watched a million times. 30 Rock is on the list. There's a couple others on the list of rewatchables. Detroiters. Ugh, under a blanket watching Detroiters. Maybe eating some cheese. Really, Liz Lemon has permeated every aspect of my life. Well, that is why I love Lola blankets. Lola is the world's number one blanket, crafted with ultra-soft, luxury vegan faux fur and a signature four-way stretch that sets it apart. It's machine washable, double hem for durability, and stays flawless. No pilling, no shedding, even after repeated washes. One Lola instantly elevates your space. It's so soft, beautifully designed, and makes your home feel cozy and curated. I first started seeing Lola ads on Instagram, and now I feel like I see it everywhere. Lola is my go-to gift. It's personal, beautiful, and something people actually use every day. Lola has over 10,000 five-star reviews, and once you feel it, you'll know why. There's a reason it's called the world's number one blanket. This thing is next level. Lola Blanket has also collabed with a number of amazing designers, but you got to move fast. These drops always sell out. It comes in a range of sizes. I have the large. It's perfect for cozying up solo or with someone else. XL is massive. They call it the biggest blanket on the internet. Cover your entire house with it. I don't know. Try it and tell me how much of your house you can cover. Send me pictures. That'd be fun. Lola also makes weighted blankets for calming therapeutic vibes. I love the feeling of a weighted blanket. I gotta say, nothing calms me down more than that besides being asleep. Don't miss the matching pillows. They look amazing and you save when bundling. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 35% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code HYSTERIA at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code HYSTERIA for 35% off. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets.
One of the best parts for me about hosting Reveal, you know, your favorite weekly investigative podcast, is the interviews. I love to sit down with people and try to gain a perspective that gives me and our listeners a new way of seeing the world, which is why we're launching More to the Story with me, Al Ledson. It's a place where I can talk to some of the most intriguing people to bring some context to our changing world. Follow the Reveal podcast feed and look for More to the Story every Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. Alyssa Mastromonaco is off this week, unwittingly setting in motion a series of events, the outcome of which is unknown at this time to anybody but the universe itself. In her place will be Akilah Hughes, who you probably recognize from her podcasts, YouTube, or TV projects. And if you don't recognize Akilah Hughes, frankly, I feel sorry for you. This week, we are going to be discussing the news, the schadenfreude-tastic news out of Oklahoma and Texas involving politicians who are on the wrong side of everything, acting in ways that we probably expected that they would act. Then we talk a little bit about why idiots shouldn't interview heads of state. We also talk about that Sydney Sweeney American Eagle jeans ad and the freak out around it. Congratulations, advertisers, you got attention. We talk a little bit about the tech foray into the world of eugenics and America's history with eugenics and why all of that provides a context to some of the freak out around the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. And finally, we get to our Sani Petty. Akilah Hughes is here. Super excited. This is a really fun show. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are pretty sure that Trump is jealous of Beyonce. Gotta be. Anybody getting attention? Jealous. Anybody prettier than him? Jealous. Any black woman who's intelligent and good at what she does? Jealous.
Super jealous.
I want to bring in Hysteria fave Akilah Hughes, who is here this week filling the giant shoes of Alyssa Mastromonaco. Actually, I think her shoes are pretty small, but, you know, hypothetical, theoretical shoes. Akilah, you have been busy since we've last seen you. You have a new podcast, How Is This Better, that just launched, which is awesome. I was, like, binging some episodes the other day, and I was like, this rules. So, like, tell us about your new show.
Awesome. Okay, well, it is called How Is This Better from Courier. You can watch it on YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. And basically, I wanted to be able to do, like, these deep dives into specific issues, but not take too much time. And so I think that, you know, questioning all of the proposals for our future, whether it's just cultural proposals like being a trad wife versus being a career woman, or, you know, this whole alpha male dunking your face in ice water at 4 a.m, or, you know, like more serious things like the ICE concentration camps, you know, like I felt like it was important to ask if these proposals were better than what already existed. Because, you know, we can talk till we're blue in the face about what's being proposed, but I think it's more interesting and important to question why we would choose to do these things in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you kind of find a little thread that connects different parts of culture and you pull on it and you're like, here's why we're doing this now. Here's what it was like before. I really loved the pro wrestling episode. Can I just say that was like my favorite one? Can you talk a little bit about that episode just to like tease for our listeners, because I really want people to go listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the episode is about sort of treating our politics as wrestling, which the right has been doing for the better part of the past 2 decades. It's incredibly divisive and it's about getting attention, but I had a great interview with Josie Riesman, who wrote a profile, like a book, actually, about Vince McMahon. And so we were talking about this concept of kayfabe versus neo-kayfabe. And all of this is, like, wrestling lingo, but the cliff notes are kayfabe is the idea that, like, you don't break character when you're in private. You're, you know, like, if you see somebody coming and it's two wrestlers and they're supposed to hate each other, they continue to hate each other until you pass, and then they're like, phew.
Yeah. Whereas Daniel Day-Lewis-ing, in a way.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, they're like character actors. They have to stay in character.
Sure.
And then there's the idea now of neo-kayfabe, which is sort of the era we're in, where it's like, okay, all of this could be fake except for maybe one true thing. We're not going to tell you what it is. And you sort of have to figure out how people really feel about things. And ultimately, the question we came to in our conversation was like, does it actually matter what's in these people's hearts? Like, do we need to know if they're good people, if the things that they're doing and saying are bad in public? And so I think it's just, like, a really interesting way to examine the politics of today, because I also think that, like, the left needs to get on board. We're still trying to practice the sort of, I think, Obama-era, like, hope politic that is just, like, if we just compel the hearts of these people, I'm like, no. It's about attention. It's about dominating the news cycle. It's about all of those things. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't adapted. And so in that conversation, I think we got to a really good place of just seeing, you know, the benefits of, I think, the sort of performative era we are in politics.
Mm-hmm. And, like, looking through that lens of, like, neo-kayfabe, has that helped you understand the, like, Trump handling the Epstein thing better or not?
Totally. I think so. I think the thing is, like, it's funny because this is the first time, I think, in the history of Trump's career where he didn't seem to want any attention. Like, every time it's brought up, he sort of, like, becomes a shell of himself. He's like, stop it. But, you know, there's so much evidence of Trump being friends with Epstein over the years that it is hard for him, I think, to perform the neo-kayfabe of, like, well, you know, I knew him in passing in Palm Springs. It's like, here he is at your daughter's birthday party. Like, here you are holding hands and kicking your feet at Coney Island.
Here's your half of the best friend's necklace that you kept in your diary with the, like, sweet secrets toys that you stored away. Like, it's so funny. That's such a, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at this. I always, like, I have this theory about the Trump Epstein thing. And now we're kind of, like, getting into news. But I have this theory that, like, you live in a hot climate, right?
Yes.
If you're inside, if it's cooler inside than it is outside, you keep the windows closed, right?
Yeah.
If it's cooler outside than it is inside, you open the windows to let a breeze in. And I feel like that is a good way to kind of observe the way that Trump is handling this information. Like, right now, whatever is outside of what we know is much hotter. Like, he doesn't want to
right.
He doesn't want to open the windows. That breeze is going to feel like standing next to an open oven. Like, he doesn't want to do it. And I just think it's just so simple, and everyone's like, well, you know, well, they're going to try to lift an injunction, and now they're going to court, and it's like, no, just if what is in the file is less bad than what we know, then release the file. Otherwise, we could just assume that whatever is in there is, like, pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, I mean, don't let me have an imagination. I'm imagining the worst case scenarios.
I hate that we're – why do we have to imagine this? This is mean right. of him. Like, just yeah. get it out there. I'm tired of – I don't want to imagine stuff with you right. and Jeffrey Epstein. And
but I also think, to your point, it's like if there was nothing in there – and look, this is all conjecture. But if there was nothing in there – and I was innocent, I would be like, release it today.
Yeah.
Release it now. I want it to be on a readable format. I want it to be called, like, you know how they do all calls at schools where they call all the parents and they're like, we're off tomorrow. Like, I want a robocall reading out the entire Epstein files and be like, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
I think the president has the ability to, like, text everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
Just text it to me.
Text me the Epstein files.
And everybody get those, like, massive car crashes across the country at the same time. People are like driving and scrolling.
Yeah,
only the Waymos great. Will survive, and then won't we feel silly?
Right, because only the people in the Waymos will be left.
Yeah. Well, maybe humanity tough. Should not repopulate if it's just Waymo
right.
people. After the Epstein, yes, after the Epstein massive car crash. What are some episode topics that you have coming up?
Oh, yeah. So this Friday, we have an episode about the current media landscape and how a lot of media organizations are sort of bending the knee to Trump. Obviously, CBS to get their Skydance deal through, but also, you know, sort of just the entire media landscape crumbling under this Republican presidency. Mm-hmm. We talk a little bit about NPR and how that defunding might shake out. But it's just a very, I think, specific time for independent media to rise, but also be well-funded. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of get into the weeds about all of that. And how is it better? The spoiler is it's not. I think we all know it's not better.
I was hoping this one would be better.
I know. They're pretty much never better.
Oh. Well, that was that. That I can go ahead and delete my final question. Has anything gotten better? Okay. Now let's get to the news this week. There's a lot of dark stuff going on, but I would like to start the news with a little mini segment that I'm calling Well, 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 Well. You gotta use all the wells. Okay.
Yes.
It's always who you most expect. Okay. Fuckery originating in Texas, if you can believe it. Republican State Representative Giovanni Cabriglione, the American Sign Language sign for that name is just this. I did the Italian hand gesture.
Yes.
He announced that he was dropping his reelection bid after admitting to an affair he had had years ago. His mistress, however, had more sweet tea to spill. Exotic dancer Alex Grace claims that she had a 17-year affair with the representative, who I just want to pause real quick, Akilah, and point out that she is like, objectively a hot lady, and he is objectively a mid man. And I,
what's going on in Texas? The questions are, what's going on in Texas?
Yeah, what's going on in Texas? So the affair started allegedly when she was pretty young, like young, of age, but close
barely.
To not being of age.
Yeah,
she shared,
close to that.
Yeah, she shared intimate and gross details of their relationship, including a sexual fantasy of ejaculating into cookie batter for his daughter's bake sale.
Okay.
And then making, this is what she said, and making her meet up with him at a Chuck E. Cheese to collect a envelope of cash from by a dumpster. The most damning details, though, is that he funded multiple abortions for her, which is, you know, a problem because he... was one of the authors of the Texas trigger law that banned all abortions in the state after Roe v. Wade fell, which doesn't seem well. So he denies all of these, like, really gross things adamantly. He admits to the affair. He's like, me and my wife are cool now after I had a 17-year affair with a stripper. It's like, I'm sure you're cool. She is growing some poisonous plants in the garden, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's,
the announcement for the divorce is imminent. Imminent.
He's going to get Paxtoned. Eventually.
Yeah.
Anyway, he denies the abortion allegations, the other nasty details. But I don't know if we have any, like, I don't, do you believe him? Who do you believe in this story, Akila?
Well, I don't believe the person who's been hiding the affair. I'll just lead on that. If this guy is, he's like, I lied about a bunch of stuff, but not this also.
Mm-hmm.
I also just don't see the benefit to her? Like, I mean, maybe he would pay her to stop talking, but I just honestly feel like, well, this is within his character. Like, it seems like everything that we have seen from him, if it's, like, restricting women's rights, lying to the woman he's supposed to be, like, married to for 17 years is wild. Like, that's actually your girlfriend. Like,
that's a common law. You have, like, you're common law polygamist. You are, like, common law married at that point to another person.
Right. So, yeah. Like, I mean, I just think after this, look, he could be telling the truth, but who cares? Again, let's go back to the kayfabe of it all. Like, I think we know what's in his heart. I don't think we need to, like, she could tell me anything and I'd be like, I believe it.
Yeah. You know, the thing, I was thinking about this and, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, disinformation and misinformation and how, like, it comes through both, like, sides ideologically, right?
Yeah.
And this is a sort of information, this is a story that I read and I'm like, yeah, oh, of course, of fucking course, right? But, like, I don't want to, like, pour cold water on it, but I do want to, like, step back and have, like, a healthy degree of skepticism.
Yeah.
Because he's threatening to sue the publication that did the interview with his former mistress. And I feel like if you're telling the truth, you're not actually going to follow through with if she's telling the truth, he's not actually going to follow through with a lawsuit.
Why do you think that? Because Donald Trump just sue Wall Street Journal for $10 billion? Right, and they're not, like, here he is again with the book.
Yeah. But he's not Donald Trump. I don't think he doesn't got the sauce. He can't just like threaten to sue and have people be like, ah! Like, I feel like if she is telling the truth, then like he won't actually sue because the truth is defense. And then it's going to become part of like public record. And
what does he want in the public record?
Right, exactly. But I also like was kind of looking into him, and he, apart from regulating women's bodies, he has been involved in like writing laws regulating the tech industry in Texas. And so there's a part of me that's like, is there some like moneyed interest in the tech industry that would be willing to support something like this? Again, just adding some healthy skepticism to a story that I'm like, whenever a story is like so good that I'm like, yes, hook it up to my veins, I have to like stop myself before I like go on a 3-day bender about it.
It's true. Yeah.
I feel like but then I was thinking about it again and I was like, man, isn't it fucked up that like I expect people to be outraged enough about tech regulation to possibly try to do a rat fuck? Yeah. But they won't be as upset about female body regulation to do a rat fuck. Anyway. Okay, so here's another really great entry under the well headline. Oklahoma State Superintendent of Public Instruction and verified religious wacko Ryan Walters has quite an insane person resume. Akilah, you're familiar with him, right?
Yeah. He's very outspoken. It appears that he wants to eventually moonlight on Fox News. He's doing his videos. They're pretty high quality, you know, like video-wise. I mean, but like it's mostly just the same old hits. He hasn't really innovated in the space of being like a fascist.
Right. He's a cover band. He's a Donald Trump.
Exactly. He's like a tribute band to Donald Trump.
Yeah, who is himself a tribute band to Benito Mussolini, but 100%. In English.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that, but like, you know, real ones do. So Ryan Walters is quite a piece of shit. Since he took office in 2023, he's appointed far-right activist Chaya Rachik, who is aka Libs of TikTok, who is a mentally unwell woman who has become famous by sicking mobs against people that she deems woke. Mm-hmm. She's only been to Oklahoma like twice, like not many times, but she was appointed.
I've been to Oklahoma twice. Like,
it's hard
and
to not.
No one's seeing me as a representative of anything there.
Yeah, it's hard to not go to. I try to avoid going to Oklahoma, and
you
I
accidentally.
You have to go through. It's in the middle. Eventually, you just like
it is the middle.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, she's been appointed to the Oklahoma Library Advisory Board. He's advocated teaching the Christian Bible in public schools. He was a real asshole when 16-year-old non-binary Owosso High School student Nex Benedict died. He was really awful about that. He requested teachers play a video of him praying for the president-elect Donald Trump against his, it's like, he's just fucking weird.
I don't want to see my principal praying. I just want to put that out there. I don't care. Those are your prayers for a reason.
there's like a whole, I mean, like what, I'm not like into God or anything, but like there's a whole verse in the Bible that's like, hey, when you pray, you should shut the door and like do it quietly because like that's the whole, like, why are you doing it? If you want people to see you doing it, then you're not really doing it for God. But whatever.
Because you know he's not.
He's not doing it for clout yet.
Okay, he's at the opening credits. He's still reading the table of contents.
Oh my God! You know what it reminds me of? What did Leah call Kenny from Love Island yesterday? A clout goblin?
A little bit of
a clout demon. He's a clout demon
for sure.
Oh my God, Leah, bless you. So he also, in July of this year, announced an anti-woke test developed in partnership with Prager University for teachers that are moving to Oklahoma from blue states that will assess whether or not they are too woke to teach in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, by the way, 50th out of 50 states in education. So he's doing a great job.
Not laughing at them. I'm laughing with them.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so I just wanted to, like, this is a long wind up because I just think that the delivery is just much more sweet if you are, like, it's fresh in your mind. On Friday, this is from an NPR affiliate in Oklahoma. On Friday, board members Ryan Dethridge and Becky Carson told NonDoc and The Oklahoman that during an executive session of Thursday's State Board of Education meeting, they witnessed images of nude women on a TV in Walter's office. According to the reports, Carson demanded the television be shut off. Walter struggled to turn it off, but did not address or apologize once it was off. Dethridge told NonDoc Walter should be held accountable, noting if he was treated like any other teacher, we would probably pull his teaching certificate and put him on his own list. Third board member was present, but he had his back to the TV and confirmed that Walters turned it off and appeared shaken when he'd done it. So he was caught watching some...
Yeah.
Nakey on his TV during board meeting. He has responded by calling it a conspiracy, blaming the governor, and looking guiltier than I think I could look had I attended a class on how to look guilty. Akilah, what do you make of this story? Does any of this surprise you?
Okay, so I'm never surprised. I'm never surprised by the audacity of people who would make their horrible beliefs so publicly known. Like, it's never surprising that, like, oh, this is what they would do. I think what is shocking is that, like, it was in, you know, like, I mean, the Board of Education is a part of, like, the education system. You shouldn't be doing that at work anywhere, but it's like, this is kids. Like, you're talking about kids all day, and you got naked women on the TV. So, like, I think my immediate response is, like, it's beyond the hypocrisy, right? Like, there's a level of hypocrisy that is expected that people have sort of deemed across the board. They just don't care about hypocrisy anymore. What's worse, though, I think, is just sort of, like, the shamelessness of his other worse arguments when he can't even control himself at work. To lie. It's like, I think that I hate this era of politics we're in because Donald Trump has just ushered in, like, the worst liars. The truth is, I wouldn't care if he was, like, had a good lie. Like, I slipped and fell on a banana peel, and then the remote hit the TV, and it happened to be turned to, like, that Baywatch channel. Like, fine. But it's like, he's not even trying to come up with a lie. He's like, they're just trying to smear me. I'm like, it seems like a really easy thing to just, like, say you did or didn't do.
Yeah.
They don't have to smear you. Like, you're bad enough.
It could have been like, I've been having some problems with the TV. I have no idea why that was on. Like,
right.
We were all surprised. But instead, it's like, I've never seen anybody more, like, you know the phrase gooner?
Yes. Like, I know the phrase gooner.
He is so goonery. Like,
he was gooning at work.
He's like, he's been gooning. Like, yeah. I feel like that's the only way that you accidentally have porn on your TV at work. Like,
I agree.
Even like,
it's his goon cave, and he's not being honest about it.
The Oklahoma Gooners.
Yes. Honestly, if they made t-shirts, I'd send them one.
I would wear one. I want Oklahoma Gooners. That is Ryan Walters. Congratulations on really, really breaking new barriers in hypocrisy and ridiculousness. But you know what? I kind of like, along with the whole like wrestling thing we were talking about, he's really like playing the heel. He's like, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, they're against me.
But like the governor, like originally appointed him, I believe. Like the current governor of Oklahoma originally appointed him. So like, why would the governor care?
Right. And the school board is not especially progressive. They're not trying to oust him. Like, he's been there and he's stayed there, and the things that he's proposed have been implemented. Like, it's not like, I mean, if they were lying in wait, you'd think they'd have a better excuse than the TV was on. Like, that just seems like it's true. Like, that's just what happened.
Yeah. I've got to say, though, in the age of Epstein, at least they were full-grown adult women.
Yeah. Actually, you got to hand it to them. You don't have to hand it to them. I'm handing it back to myself.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, moving on. The MAGA coalition is going to be put to the test in the South Carolina Republican primary. Mm-hmm. This is going to be delicious.
Interesting.
Paul Dans, one of the architects of Project 2025, announced that he will be running against Lindsey Graham, who has, you know, humiliated himself on the altar of Trumpism. Trump has already endorsed his longtime ally Graham, but Dans claims that he is the more MAGA candidate of the two. Akilah, are the girls fighting?
The girls are fighting. And honestly, I've always thought that this is how it would end. I figured that, like, I wrote a blog post at the beginning of the year that was like, sometimes the check engine light goes off on its own. Mm-hmm. And that is my philosophy for all of it. You know, like, things might be messed up, but I think that, like, you know, they will fight. Someone will come out on top. But ultimately, like, this diminishes, I think, the MAGA movement ultimately. Like, the fact that they can't be on the same page, they can't rally around just one person, they're all clawing for power. It also doesn't bode well for, like, look, Trump isn't going to live forever. And I'm not wishing him ill, even though, like, if it happens, so come sit by me. I got some jokes. But I'm just saying, like, this man is not going to live forever. And they don't have a successor. He's already said J.D. Vance isn't next. And so I'm like, right, you've created a bunch of, like, just a hive of narcissists who are all clawing for an ounce of power, trying to appease the president, not the country. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's going to be this, like, lifting of the veil, and, like, it actually is going to kill their power source. Like, I don't see any of them rising to the ranks that Trump was able to, simply because, like, none of them are likable. None of them have been famous for 50 years. And also, like, Lindsey Graham was not popular. He's just, like, unfortunately undefeated. Like, that's really all.
He is just a real Olympian suck up. Like, he sucks up to whoever he needs to suck up to. And, like, I really think it, I mean, I don't want to see one of the architects of Project 2025 in the Senate, but, like, what difference would it make? Like, what difference would it make? Lindsey Graham is already completely capitulating to the entire Project 2025 agenda. So what difference does it make if, like, I would be less likely to want to sit next to one of them on an airplane? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
totally.
I would, if Lindsey Graham was sitting next to me on an airplane, I'd probably get a kick out of him. I feel like John McCain liked him. You know, there's got to be something fun about him. You know, we can gas.
Even, or listen, I'd like to sit next to him after he loses to this guy.
Oh, wow.
Be like, oh, that's a tough break. You sold your soul in for what? I would just
feeling,
talk
Lynn?
At him for hours.
How
I hope we're going to Hawaii. We need 10 hours from South Carolina. Let's just, I'll be like, in another thing, Lindsay. And something came to me in the bathroom. Can you believe that you lost? And for what? Your flying coach. Next to me.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think that, it would be a fitting end for him to end of his political career to be, like, primaried out.
I love that. Yeah. Honestly, because I actually agree a lot with what you're saying about, like, what is the actual difference? Because I think that, like, maybe the benefit, if there is any silver lining here, is also that, like, this other person is not a legislator. Like, doesn't have necessarily the ability to sway real votes. Like, has money, but, like, we already saw Elon fail to, like, flip elections with his money. So I think that, like, you know, they might even be more of a lame duck in the Congress. So it's, like, it's kind of fine.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it's just, like, at least if there's somebody who is bad at politics, who's, like, not a politician, they will not be as effective as a legislator. I completely agree with you. And I think, like, you know what? You really hate to see it, you know?
Yeah. Darn, you know?
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Amnesty International USA. Look, here's the thing. If you're fired up and ready to fight back against cruel anti-human rights policies like Trump's mass deportation campaign, which violates due process, separates families, and puts people in danger, Amnesty International is right there with you.
For over six decades, Amnesty International has been on the front lines of protecting human rights from bullies and bad guys. Amnesty International doesn't take a dime from governments for their campaigning and research. That means they're independent and they speak truth to power, no matter who's in charge. So if you believe in truth, accountability, and not letting Trump-style cruelty slide, head to amnestyusa.org/help. Your donation is tax deductible, and right now it'll be triple matched. That's amnestyusa.org/help.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Okay, we're back. All right, this next story, when I read it, Akilah, sometimes, like, when I read a news story, I feel like the universe is taking, like, a cup of dice, and each dice has, like, the name of a random influencer or, like, a random politician or a random celebrity, and it just shakes, and then, like, the first three that come out, you're like, okay, there's a news story about Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry. They're on a date. You know, like, what the fuck? Here's another one that was like, oh, okay, what a weird shake of the dice. Candace Owens is being sued for defamation in the U.S. by Emmanuel and Brigitte Macron. This is in response to Owen's crusade to transvestigate the First Lady of France in an 8-part podcast series. So Candace is...
Once wasn't enough.
An 8-part podcast series accusing the First Lady of France of being... having been born a male. Owens perpetuated a theory that Brigitte is actually a man named Jean-Michel Trogneau. In reality, that's her older brother. He exists.
He's just a guy. He's sitting next to her like, I'm confused.
He's a separate guy. They did not divide like amoeba after.
she's just standing behind him in one picture and she's like, do you see?
Oh, my God.
It's so bad.
The lawsuit said evidence clearly disproved this grotesque narrative, which had become a campaign of global humiliation and relentless bullying on a worldwide scale. Candace Owens, you got some splaining to do. Candace has doubled down on her claims, saying that they are more likely to stage Brigitte's death than go into discovery.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm going to just offer that I doubt that. But
yeah. All right. What do you make of Candace Owens, like, YouTuber podcaster arc? Like, why is it working? Why is she getting so much more popular? Like, she's crazier than ever.
I think that you answered your own question. I think she's crazier than ever. I think we're at a point in the internet, honestly, where, like, if you don't have an outlandish claim, no one cares what you have to say. Like, we're all just, like, carnival barkers on the street now trying to get attention. And so Candace Owens has gotten really good at that. I mean— It's clear that she wanted to do a one-part episode, and then people were like, I love this dumb conspiracy. And she just kept coming up with ideas. Because also, like, think about this. It's a podcast. And I don't think her podcast is, like, necessarily well edited or anything.
No,
like, I think it's kind of a long-running sort of, like, Joe Rogan sort of, like, witchcraft where you just kind of get hypnotized by how long it's been going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she's been meandering
for— It's like being caught, like, in a waiting room next to somebody who won't shut up.
Right. So imagine 10 hours of that.
So
I'm like,
hours.
I think that she's honestly just, she's trying to feed a beast because it's how she pays her bills. And I think that this is sort of maybe the end game for all of these kinds of podcasters, like the Alex Jones route, where it's like, I'm going to go all in on this very dumb theory and try to sell my supplements alongside it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I hope I don't get sued out of a job, but I will. And I think for her, she's going to have a much harder time coming back. Like, I think that she's you know, I don't follow her career very closely. I'm not a fan. But oh, I think that, like,
that's surprising.
I know. But the majority of the year has been, you know, her trying to find her footing. She's, like, kind of in the Epstein of it all, right? Like, she's sort of not with Trump on it. It's kind of affecting her audience. And so I think that she's trying to figure out where she can fit in this weird right-wing landscape. Because also, she's not like a white dude on steroids. So she's not getting those numbers. She's mm-hmm. got to find people who are like, you are credible to me in one way. And I think a black woman shitting on other women, unfortunately, can be a popular podcast idea, but mm-hmm. I think that she will, frankly, rue the day, and I look forward.
I mean, like, you and I have both seen this film before, too. Like, there is an arc, and it's always, like, a woman, like, gloms onto a fundamentally misogynist,
yes.
like, ideology to be their sort of, like, you know, to be a smoke screen. Yeah, like a pick me smoke screen, right?
Yeah.
And the second that she's not useful to that ideology anymore, or the second that she's inconvenient to somebody more important than her,
yeah.
she is dumped.
Out of there. Yeah.
And like, there are some people that make it, you know, all the way to the finish line. Megyn Kelly, I believe in you, girl. but like, for the most part, those people are like the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And like, I can just see, I think that your point about like, people just saying absurd shit until they get sued. And then, like, yeah. what Alex Jones did when he lost that giant lawsuit was, like, allegedly squirrel away as much money as he possibly could to avoid mm-hmm. paying the lawsuit. So, like, I feel like that there's a path of, like, get as much money as possible, saying as much crazy shit as possible, squirrel yeah. the money away so when you finally inevitably lose a lawsuit, you mm-hmm. can, like, eventually kind of, like, crawl back to it quietly and live a, like, McMansion life in Indianapolis for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? You're not going to be
totally.
Famous anymore, but you're going to be comfortable and you won't need money. And, like,
totally.
I don't know. I feel like you're getting sued by the head of a major American ally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so what if this, you know how, like, we go back to that guy getting shot? Who's the one? World War One. The Duke.
Oh, Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah, Franz Ferdinand. Is this going to be our Franz Ferdinand moment for World War III? Is like, enough. Enough. Someone has to put down an American podcaster because they just wouldn't let it go. And I'm like, I wouldn't put it past the idiotic times we're living in. Like, I feel like the implications may be much larger than we're even thinking.
I hate how intelligent that point is, because it's like, oh my god, our Franz Ferdinand moment is going to be something so fucking dumb.
Deeply
it's gonna
stupid.
Because, like, there's going to be, like, if humanity exists in, like, 100 years, their Dan Carlin is going to put together a, like, 10-hour series
yeah.
that, like, assigns gravitas to the career of Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, as if it mattered. Like, as if we weren't just shitting on her on a different podcast. Fully.
Oh, speaking of idiots in over their heads on podcasts. So, situation in Gaza right now, absolutely horrendous. Horrendous. Mm. Has been horrendous for a long time. Has been obviously horrendous for a long time. And Israel has obviously been trying to minimize and lie about what they have been doing deliberately to the people of Gaza for a long time. It is disgusting. And right now, in the last few weeks, we have come to a point where the Gazans are on the precipice of a full-on famine.
Yeah.
Famine. Children are starving to death. So, what did a pair of Canadian prank YouTubers do?
Oh,
they
please.
Interviewed Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. Akilah, are you familiar with the Nelk boys?
Of course not. I get laid regularly, so no. But ooh, I saw the clips.
Okay. Humble brag.
Very alive bedroom in my life. And so, frankly.
Okay. Good for
passing.
You, first of all. I love this for you. Secondly, I was sort of familiar with them because I listened to their interview with J.D. Vance when I was prepping to write the J.D. Vance episode of This Fucking Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked. The first thing I did was Google their ages, and I was shocked
yeah.
to discover that they're in their 30s. They're
I know, they
professional
look
prank boys in their 30s.
Yeah.
And they did this interview with Netanyahu that was, like, obviously an attempt by the government of Israel to, like, reach this the Nelk Boys audience, which was ostensibly important to the Trump victory and the rightward shift of American men, despite the fact that these guys are Canadian and randomly will drop in a boot when they're talking, and it's very funny. So they did this interview, and I gotta say, they are dumber than a bowl of sperm. Just two, like, eyes like broken taillights. Just complete fucking dumbass.
The middle distance is where their eyes lands. Just nothing behind the eyes.
It is so shockingly bad. It was so shockingly bad, this interview, that their listeners in the comments were savaging them. They were like, what are you doing? They asked them questions like, okay, so, like, I've been reading on, like, X and, like, whatever, like, stuff about, like, I don't know, like, being, like, not good to, like, people in Gaza. So, like, what do you say about that? Like, that's literally not that much of a parody. That's how they speak as human beings. They are two men in their 30s.
Yeah.
They have receding hairlines.
They have a prank podcast.
They got
where they're talking
doing
to
pranks.
The propagator of a genocide. Just an aside, I feel like someone needs to make, and maybe it's me, you know, Mike Judge, if you're listening, someone needs to make, like, a prequel to Idiocracy about, like, this decline. Because this is clearly, like, a major moment in that decline. Like, why? I mean, I'm curious as to why he thought that would be a cool podcast to go on. I also hate that they're doing podcasts. I think that, like, podcasts are beneath heads of state, and, like, we're in a really bad time when people are, like, cutting it up.
I feel like people who listen to that sort of podcast do so because they want to retreat from the news and live in their fake little world of denial. Yeah. And there are specific newsmakers who have understood that that's the only way to reach those people is to poke themselves in. But if too many of them poke their way in, then those places will be places that listeners flee because they want to avoid the news. That's why people got so mad when Kamala Harris did call her daddy. Yeah. Because they were like the reading the comments, they were like, I don't want to listen to politics. And it's like, all right, like, you have a uterus, like, it affects you. It's like,
you kind of have to listen to it sometimes, guys. I'm so sorry.
Right.
Take like your democracy.
Democracy is a participation. You need to participate. You get democracy, but in exchange, you need to, like, know enough. You need to, like, participate. But people are, like, so turned off by it that they, like, try to flee it. And the Nelk Boys is one of the places they flee to. I, like, listened to some of the interview, and then I was like, this is horrible. I would like to see these guys get yelled at. And, of course, because they're YouTubers, there's a video of them sort of getting yelled at by other YouTube. I went so far down this. I went into a corner of YouTube that is not made for me. I am not the target demo. But it was like Adam Friedlander and Hassan Piker were, like, yelling at the Nelk Boys. And
they're just, like, tail between their legs.
Well, they were just, like you said, Akilah, like the mid-distance stare, like slack-jawed. One of them took a couple hits of a vape.
Oh, like, my Lord.
It was, like, not looking cool.
So dumb.
Looking dumb. There was, like, pictures, like, the picture of them, I think American Prospect. There was a magazine that did, or Foreign Policy, had a piece that came out this week that was, like, the rise of the idiot interviewer. And the picture they used for it was one of the Nelk Boys, like, wearing a suit. And he truly looked like he was attending, a 30-year-old man having a bar mitzvah. So anyway, so here are some quotes from that video of, like, Hassan and Adam Friedlander yelling at them. Here's some things that they said. Sure, we're not the best at asking questions. We're not the best journalists. Okay.
You're not journalists. You're not journalists.
That's why
pranks.
We need
pranks are not journalism. I need to hold someone's hand and sit down to a piano track and be like, I know that you think that this is a career. It's not,
you are not a
career.
Journalist.
You put, like, a fake snake under a chair. Like, that's what you do. Whoopee cushions is your peak. You don't ask heads of state questions.
I mean, they have the brains are smoother than whoopee cushions, for sure.
Yeah.
They also defended having him on the podcast by saying, people go into podcasts to promote whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing.
What do you think he's promoting, guys? Into the microphone. What do you think Benjamin Netanyahu's promoting right now? What do you think he's up to?
We're not the best at grilling guests. We never claim to be super educated on this topic. Okay.
Or any topic.
Don't do the interview. Like, I feel like people don't understand in this age of, like, the podcasting Wild West. Journalism is a profession and a discipline, right?
Yeah.
Like, podcasts kind of blur the line. Like, you sit down and you talk to people, and sometimes you press them or whatever. But, like, journalism has a specific set of rules that you have to follow. And, like, one of those rules is like, you don't sit down with a person that's being accused of genocidal acts against an entire, like, millions of people. You don't sit down with them and say, like, you know, it's like, how do you like your hamburger? Like,
are you enjoying the weather here in Canada today?
Like, I love the nightlife in Tel Aviv. They're really nice. Oh, wow.
Wow. Sick.
Wow.
You're a moron.
Sick, 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 sick. 100%. Sick, 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 sick. That's another Nelk boys number. Sick, sick, sick. 100%. Guys, I like also, my brain like zooms out when I get overwhelmed by how stupid something is. And like, I try to see, I'm like, oh, young men are falling behind. Like, these boys, these 31-year-old, 32-year-old boys would be, like, stupid in a freshman college class when I was in college. Like, they would be the dumb 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this really – this is, like, the way that men relate to each other? Like, holy shit. Holy shit.
It's rough. It's like, such a damning – reality. It's like none of these people have a standard. I mean, listen, there was a moment where I was like, is it maybe they got COVID a bunch more times than we know? And so, like, their brains are just oozing out their ear. People are dumber. They're listening. I don't know exactly. But it is, like, seeing the slide so quickly in our lifetime, like, I don't feel like I am old, and I am not technically old. So it is weird that, like, the decline has been off a cliff. Like, I used to believe in some men. And the thing is, I don't even dislike men. I'm just like, I believed in them. And now I see this. I don't know anymore.
It is
I just don't know anymore.
I really think that that men that are trying to better themselves have a real opportunity to become like alpha males by a country mile. Like, if you are in any way remotely trying to become emotionally
intelligent.
If you read one book this year. If you
not clip notes and didn't ask ChatGPT what it meant, sat with your thoughts and pondered what it means.
If you listened to the Nelk Boys interview with Benjamin Netanyahu and you had some pushback ideas, then you're doing better.
Lean into that. Lean into that. Don't go back to just acting like it's fine. Don't go to another third-rate podcast just like that with two dudes with bad haircuts who really wish they were just in the wild, like putting saran wrap on a toilet seat. Like, focus up.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I'm sorry. Like, ever since I listened to that, there have been two voices, and the second voice that I've, like, can't stop doing now that I've been hearing them, and one of them is, like, my dumb, dumb podcaster voice. Like, 100%, 100%. Yeah. Tight. Yeah, tight. Yeah, no cap.
For real, yeah.
For real. Okay. On that note, I'm gonna get that out of my head, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Akilah is still going to be here, and we're going to talk about a jeans ad that is causing everyone to talk about the jeans ad. Hysteria is brought to you by Honey Love. Alyssa, guess what? I'm doing in a couple weeks. I'm not going to be specific about what day. I'm going to the Magic Castle. Yeah, it's a thing.
Whoa.
It's a thing in LA. I guess you have to be invited. I don't know the specifics.
Even I know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, it got made fun of on Arrested Development, but I still want to go, and I'm really excited that I'm going to get to go, but they have, like, a dress code, right? And this is going to be the first time in a really long time. Yeah, this is going to be the first time in a long time that I've, like, gotten dressed up. So
what are you going to wear?
Honey Love.
Oh!
And then a dress on top of it. But, like, I'm going to wear Honey Love underneath because, like, I just feel better, more confident, and, like, everything is where it needs to be when I wear Honey Love. Also, it's comfortable. So, you know, win. It's like getting a flattering hug that you
you're
can-
gonna- You're going to be put together.
I'm going to be put together. Summer is here, and you know what that means. It's time for breezy dresses, bold colors, the magic castle, and
always
all the effortlessly cool looks you've been waiting to wear. Whether you're heading to rooftop brunches, garden parties, or just soaking up the sun in your favorite sundress, let's talk about what's underneath, because the right shapewear can make all the difference.
Today's episode is brought to you by Honeylove, the brand redefining modern shapewear with real comfort and serious support. And their newest innovation, Mesh Sculpt, is the ultimate summer shapewear. Usually, lightweight shapewear doesn't offer much hold, and strong shapewear is very heavy. But Mesh Sculpt changes all that. It's breathable and lightweight without sacrificing its power. It keeps you cool while still delivering the sculpted silhouette you want. Honeylove's targeted compression smooths and shapes exactly where you want it to and eases up where you don't. It works with your body, not against it. Plus, thanks to flexible boning on the sides, it stays in place. No rolling, no shifting, no awkward adjusting mid-conversation. The rolling is always such a problem with me. Not with Honeylove, of course.
Just
I hate other brands.
Any rolling, I'm just like, get the
fuck off
my body.
You get the roll. You feel it. You feel it. You've had it on for an hour, and it starts rolling down, and you get that roll line, which is embarrassing.
Mm-mm.
With lingerie-inspired details, Honeylove pieces are meant to be seen. So whether you're dressing up for a night or just feeling yourself in your go-to sundress, Honeylove has your back, your curves, and your comfort covered all season long.
And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can save 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/hysteria. Support the show and enjoy your summer by checking them out at honeylove.com/hysteria. Treat yourself to the most comfortable shapewear on earth and save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/hysteria. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in shapewear with Honeylove.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people that don't think a homonym is a good basis for an ad campaign, especially when the homonym elicits memories of unpleasant historical events. Mm. All right. Okay, so last week, American Eagle. Remember them? I used to always get my underwear from there.
Yeah.
Good underwear.
I had like two pairs of jeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were fine. They were very low rise, and my butt crack was out a lot. That's mostly, like, I remember a breeze on my butt crack in the 2000s.
All of our butt cracks were having a breezy time during the early aughts.
No one wants to talk about it.
Well, my butt crack is like, please, never again. Never again.
Yeah,
keep,
for sure.
Keep me tightly far away. Okay, so last week, American Eagle launched an ad campaign for new jeans with Sydney Sweeney that sent the internet into an uproar, and for good reason. It also, like, started this outrage cycle that I kind of want to get into after I'm done, like, introducing this, because it's, like, very predictable.
Thing.
It's a very predictable outrage cycle. So the ad has an odd vibe to it. It's clear that it was meant to be a nod to the Brooke Shields Calvin Klein ad campaign that was like an iconic jeans campaign from the 80s. But the copy over the ad has caused some people to be like, okay, wait, what? Sydney Sweeney in the ad has a play on words between pants, jeans, and genes, as in, like, genetic material that's meant to be sort of cheeky, but comes across, like, it just doesn't quite work for a lot of people. Not to mention, it's an homage to this Brooke Shields ad. So let's listen to the ad.
Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My genes are blue.
Sydney Sweeney, has very keens.
Yeah, you know, some people were pointing out that it seems a little odd for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed gal telling us what great genes are. Some people were pointing out that it's weird how she said offspring instead of offspring. Yeah. Like, how many takes did she have?
Yeah.
Two Fs? S's? And what I've seen now is, like, right-wing media is absolutely, like, crapping their pants about how, like, the left is losing their mind about this, which is, I kind of want to, like, go into that outrage cycle because I was listening to, like, Ben Shapiro was talking about some random ass, like, mean lady on The Blaze was, like, talking about it. They're like, what's her face? Brett Cooper, the 23-year-old, very strange person, was talking about it. Like, they're all talking about this. I think maybe it's because they're glad that they have something to talk about that isn't Epstein, and they're glad to have an opportunity to paint blonde-haired, blue-eyed people as, like, victims of cancel culture. But, like, Akila, let's start just from the ad itself.
Yeah.
What did you think of the ad itself when you saw it?
Okay, so I think, like, many people who were on the internet, I saw it without sound first, and I was like, okay, so, like, Sydney Sweeney's an attractive girl and she's got a gene campaign. Whatever.
Yeah.
I then turned on the sound. And I will say, you know, maybe I'm just not stupid enough to fall for it because there are so many people who are like, what? They're just saying that the genes are good. Or what? They're just saying that she has big titties. And that's why her genes are good. I'm like, they're selling pants to women. So, like, I don't think it's about her titties. I think it's about the genes. But I think what is frustrating is that it's obviously intentionally a dog whistle. And I was fighting for my life in my mentions with people who are, like, willfully ignorant, who are like, you really think that 80 people at a marketing agency and Sydney Sweeney and American Eagle and all of these people went through this copy and they just knew that it was a bad thing? And I'm like, okay, what you don't understand is that is, like, an indictment of those people. Like, if all of them are too stupid or have such a small worldview that it didn't even occur to them that in a time where people who are darker than a paper bag are being disappeared off the streets, taken from their families, when racial profiling and discrimination is at an all-time high, when we're blaming airline crashes on Black people just existing, to have a girl who is literally just famous for looking a certain way say, my genes are blue, my eyes are pretty, and then cut to, she has good genes, as if the implication isn't the everyone else's isn't very good.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I just think that there is an intentionality here. And, like, I don't think that you can just sort of be like, huh, I never thought about it. These are people who went to school. Like,
yeah.
They wanted the uproar because they wanted people to buy their shitty polyester jeans.
Can I just say, though, like, this is an ad. Like, let's all, like, what is the purpose of an ad? The purpose of an ad is to get people to look at the ad and to talk about the product that is being advertised. Now, sometimes, like, I think there's, like, different schools of thought about, like, whether all attention is good or whether only some of the bad attention is also good attention. Like, but I think that this ad was effectively got people's attention. And that, like, I think that I try not to attribute malevolence to that which can be explained away by ignorance or whatever. You know, you know that saying. Yeah. Like,
it's not malice,
Yes, right. I don't think it was necessarily malicious. I think it was just, like, soulless pursuit of attention. It was clout demoning once again. And, like, they knew that this would get attention. Sydney Sweeney is a hot commodity. What I have found really interesting about this conversation is, like, the way that, like, the right-wing media has kind of tried to portray it, it feels like, listening to them talk about it, feels like being in an argument with, like, a terrible partner who, like, constantly gaslights you. You know, like, if like, one thing that I've heard is, like, the left hates hot women. The left doesn't want to see, like, blonde, hot women. It's like, absolutely I want to see blonde, hot
women. I'm like,
also,
look at Hollywood. Most of these people are progressive, and most of them are blonde and hot.
And hot. Like, what are you
talking about? Like, I have no—and also, like, that argument fell apart in the other ads she did. This is a campaign that has several ads. That one's the most egregious, where she's literally talking about her eye color and her hair color.
Right. At the other ad, she just looks like the guest girl. Like, the guest girls from, like,
Teen
Magazine.
And no one is mad at any of those. Like, she can absolutely do donuts in a vintage car. I love it. She's a hot woman. She should be seen.
Congratulations on her amazing rack. She's got an amazing, like,
And like I objectively would say that I'm a fan of, you know, Euphoria. I watched both seasons. I look forward to the one where they're all 40 when it finally comes out. Like, it's going to be great. My feeling, though, is sort of like it kind of goes back to that kayfabe conversation. It's like, does it matter what their intent was if that's the outcome? Mm-hmm. But to your point, something that like a conversation I've been having with people lately is sort of like the way the manosphere can thrive is by basically branding everything that is divisive in any way as like their personal brand. And so in the same way that I don't think anyone thinks Trump's base is as racist as Donald Trump is hoping they are, I think these marketers hope beyond hope that people are misogynistic and racist and whatever, and will have that to drive them to go buy their, you know, lackluster jeans. Like, mm-hmm. I think that that is really what it is. And, like, so I agree. Like, I think that they wanted to get the attention. And I also think that they know that, like, they're not going to sell jeans in California and New York. Mm-hmm. They need to sell them to, like, dairy farmers who are like, fine. I'm unhappy with the changing color of the country. And if this pisses off a liberal, then even better. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to just get better at responding to those things. Because, like, I posted on Twitter a mock-up ad that got me in a lot of hot water. Because Beyonce also has a denim contract with Levi's. She has a song with Post Malone called Levi's Jeans. And so I was like, well, Levi's are better jeans, I think, across the board. We all know they use real denim. So I said, what if I put Beyonce has better jeans? And people were like, no, because her jeans are not better than a white woman's. And every racist came out of the woodwork. And I'm like, huh. It's interesting. Yeah. So if it was just an innocent conversation about the quality of the jeans, just a little pun, why do all the racists hear the dog whistle?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then pretend that we're crazy for being like, hey, you know, this might not have been on purpose, but it kind of like hits a
sucks.
Weird. Yeah. Like, hey, but they're like, something that I've also found is like anytime they get called out for something that they're definitely doing, if it's something like an ad campaign and you're like, hey, you guys have been like really into eugenics lately. And the fact that you're really into this ad kind of dovetails with that to me. And they're like, it is ridiculous. The left is freaking out about this ad. They're so over the top. All they want is like fat ladies. All they want is ugly people in ads. Like, they just want it to be a big Dove campaign, blah, 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 blah. And, but which, by the way, the Dove campaign got attention because when it came out, it was contrary to what was like a typical ad. It like broke through the noise, just as this ad broke through the noise. Mm-hmm. And after a bunch of people follow this ad and feature like hot blonde women because this one got so much attention, eventually there will be another one featuring unconventionally attractive people or people who are not conventionally attractive at all. And that will break through the noise because it's fucking advertising. That's that's how it works. It's not about like leftists want this. It's and right wing people want this. It's like, what all they want is to get attention. They got attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I really hate that the right wing does this thing. They accuse you of freaking out and ridicule you for pointing something out, and then they do the thing so that we feel shy about like standing up and speaking out for it when the thing actually gets worse. You know, when like Roe v. Wade was overturned, it was like, oh, they're not gonna blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's going back to the left is freaking out. Well, guess what? All the things that we were freaking out about started happening. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, we had too many people had been too shamed and too ridiculed to say anything. And so they just kind of like let it lie. It's a cousin of confessing by accusing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that fully. And I think my last thought on it, honestly, is like the way that they get away with this is that they are graded on a curve. They are allowed to feign obliviousness. They're not asked to answer for anything, really. They just are like, oh, I was born yesterday. What do you mean the historical context of
jeans?
you read a book, so that's why you think that. And I'm like, right. We don't have that benefit. And I think that like maybe the left has to start playing just as dumb. Maybe, like, I honestly think that, like, the problem is that, like, the standard for the right is in hell. They can be as dumb. Because also, it's like, these are completely sexless people. I hate to come back to it. But I'm like, you all are acting like you love to see this. And yet, the moment there's a hot woman in your town, you're running her out of town.
Right. If like, she were actually having sex in the ad, you would be very upset. Like, not pornography. But if it was, like, some sort of simulated sex act, you would be really pissed off. But sex is okay and sex is not.
Exactly. And so I'm like, you all aren't the arbiter of anything. Like, you all, like, get your jollies to the shoes that the M&Ms are wearing. Like, I don't think that you guys actually know what's sexy either. I think that, like, we could just have a conversation about how, like, maybe it could have been phrased differently. And the thing is, she could have referenced her genetics, but not just the blue eyes. Like, that's the weirdest part.
Yeah.
Because it's like, blue eyes can be great. Every eye color can be great. I don't think that, call me the real racist, but I think all eye colors can be beautiful.
I think you should make merch for your show that says the real racist.
They're calling me that. They're saying she's the real racist because she realized that maybe other eye colors, also that people beyond white people can be blonde. They don't like that conversation. I'm like, the Aboriginals have something to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? That is a really good point. And I feel like a lot of the people that are like, yay, genes, we like genes now. It's like, okay, really? How many pairs of chromosomes do people have? Like, tell me one scientific fact about genes. Tell me about
literally, it. Literally, like, the main fight when I posted the Beyonce ad was literally them being like, well, she has really light skin. I'm like, well, if we're talking about genetics, like, black people can be lots of colors. Have you ever thought about it?
You're so right about the bar just being so low. I saw something on TikTok this week about Republican dumb eyes, and now I can't stop seeing it. And it is like they use the example of former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who always had this like dumb eyed look, even in his like official like it's like you said the mid. It's like I don't know if I can even do it. It's like
right. Like you're like, never focusing on anything really. You're just kind of staring into the nothing.
I'm thinking about nothing. Nothing has ever happened prior to this moment. Nothing that I do is any reflection of what came before me.
Smoothest brain.
There's no
the biggest, smoothest brain.
I asked them to go into the Rose Garden and remove all the context. Just pave over all the context.
Right. I don't want to know. I don't want to know, and I don't want to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's part of the reason why we are like the eugenics thing is coming up. Because it didn't come up sans context. Right now, there is a real kind of resurgence in the tech space of stuff that is actually like eugenics but invented by technology. Do you remember when those tech bros invented a bodega? Like a vending machine
they
bodega?
They came all the way around to it. I mean, right now they're inventing a bus. They're like an Uber that comes at a set time.
Yeah.
And everyone can get on it.
What if there was like a giant Uber that a lot of people could ride? Or like what if there was Robotech? And people like, they're almost inventing trains. But like it's always slightly worse than that which came before. You know, like the theory of
like the Tesla diner where they have a robot serving popcorn when they could have just made a popcorn machine that gives you the popcorn.
Girl.
That's an extra piece. We don't need a fake person. Either get a person or make a better machine.
So you know, the Tesla diner is not very far from my commute to work.
Yeah.
Like
I
regularly pass it.
You've seen those people?
It is rough. The line to charge the cars is like very long. The food looks like IHOP food.
It looks really rough. I saw that they did something called like epic bacon or something, and people were like, this is what it looks like, and it's just like the remnants of bacon. Like someone ate it, but then left like the fat part and put it in the thing.
I feel like Elon Musk extracted his personality from like Reddit circa 2011 and
100%.
Like did not advance.
Has a mustache tattoo on his finger. I bet you. No one's looked at it, but I bet you he's going to whip it out and it's just going to be there.
He's got snack wave pajamas. They've got like.
Yes, exactly. It's all bacon. It's all bacon
pizza,
all the way down.
Bacon, tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss snack wave though. That was like a fun fashion moment.
It's a good era. I had a lot of those clothes.
I think there remember like black milk leggings?
Yes.
That had bring those back. Bring those
I
back.
Know. So many colors.
So many options. I had like a galaxy one. So technology, as we've established, takes things that already existed because the people who are inventing this stuff insist on existing in a context-free world. Reinvent it, but worse, and think they've done something. Now the thing that they've done this time is eugenics. This week we read a Washington Post feature on ORCID, an embryogenetic screening technology that has been used by the tech elite, including at least one of Elon Musk's children. The public-facing selling point of the company is screening for genetic illnesses, which they're not the first to do. But there are reports the company also privately provides services that screen embryos for other traits like intelligence. Orchid is the first company to claim to sequence an entire genome of 3 billion base pairs. Again, this is a company claim. Technology companies claim shit all the time. Yeah. Get it printed in...
Ask Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like the whole MO of like the tech industry is claiming something and trusting that the media will print it like they are
verbatim,
doing your
totally.
Press releases. Yeah, they have that claim. Grain of salt. They use custom algorithms to create polygenic risk scores, which are designed to measure a future child's genetic propensity for developing ailments later in life, like disabilities or schizophrenia. The American College of Medical Genetics and Genomics says the benefits of these embryo screenings are unproven and warns that such tests should not be offered by clinicians. It's probably no surprise that Orchid is one of several genetic and fertility startups that Peter Thiel is invested in because, of course, he has. He does everything creepy. Nothing that he does is not creepy, and this is fucking creepy. Akilah, what's your first response to the awareness of the company Orchid that is screening for genetic issues?
I just think that, like, it's always hard to have any faith that these companies will do the right thing in the year 2025, because I think that, like, you're right, there are plenty of services to screen for genetic anomalies and to, you know, like, even just be made aware of it, not to, like, decide whether or not to have the kid, but, like, you know, to just be aware of all of the possibilities. And I think that, like, that kind of science is actually, like, revolutionary and very freeing and gives us a fuller picture of what is happening. But I think that, like, we get to a place then where, you know, it sort of gamifies life itself. It feels like we're doing a Jurassic Park, and I'm like, I don't know if we should. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. Like, some of these things, we also don't understand the nature of a lot of the things they're screening for yet. Like, we're in an era where they're devaluing science that, like, might actually benefit the masses, right? But we're, you know, solving for different issues that they believe are going to be harmful in the future. It's just, like, we're not doing the right research. The money's going in the wrong direction. And I think a lot of times you're solving a problem that doesn't exist. Like,
yeah. I also don't believe that Orchid can do what it says it can do. And I think that a lot of the fertility industry and the genetic screening industry is based on sales pitches that are not really checked or backed up by science. Like, I think a good example of that is, like, egg freezing. Egg freezing has a very low success rate, and you have to, like, harvest a shitload of eggs to have a good chance of being able to carry a baby to term after eggs have been unfrozen. But it's still,
and
like,
it's so expensive.
It is so expensive, and it's marketed to women, like, and it, like, clinicians are doing it irresponsibly to women past the age when they should be doing it. Like, I feel like there's, like, an age cutoff where after that age, like, it's just pretty much a waste of money. And, like, I feel like that happens in a lot of places. Like, I know somebody who just, like, went to a clinic for, like, a fertility screening, and it was an IVF clinic, and they told her, of course, you should do IVF. I don't know a single person who went to get their fertility screened at an IVF clinic and wasn't told that the solution to their infertility was IVF.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. Right. Like, it's interesting that they have a solution and it costs $10,000 a pop. Like, I mean, and we all have those horror stories. I have a friend who had her eggs frozen at a facility and then got a text that they were moving the facility. They were like, we're moving everything, so it's not going to be here anymore. And she's like, okay, so, like, what's the procedure for that? Like, am I good? No response. And so there was just, like, a week where she didn't know where they were. I'm like, right. I think that's really bad. If I spent that kind of money and then suddenly my genetic materials were just missing, that would be an issue for me. But again, they're not held to a scientific standard in the same way that those boys with the weird hair are not held to a journalistic standard.
Yeah.
We're just giving money to the wrong places.
We're giving money to the wrong places, and the promises that are being made and the things that are being pursued are, like, not good. They're things we don't fully understand. Like, you can screen a kid for intelligence? What? How?
Yeah.
How?
We haven't figured out how to do that accurately for, like, adults who are,
ever.
Like, can't speak.
Yes, so. Exactly. I mean, and also America's history with eugenics, like, it was invented here. The founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was a proponent of eugenics. That is something that if you talk to anybody who works at Planned Parenthood in advocacy or whatever, like, that is something that is reckoned with all the time, where it's like, there was a belief that poor people or feeble-minded people, quote unquote, because that phrase was used, like, a lot, especially at the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century. The beginning of the 20th century, it was, like, all the rage to think that you could, like, breed a country of super people and our ideas of eugenics were exported to Germany, and mm-hmm. Germany was like, oh, these are good ideas. We've got some ideas to make it real efficient. Like, yes. that, like, we came up with the origins of what ended up being, like, a Nazi ethnic cleansing operation. Mm-hmm. And look at us now. Okay, there's also, like, a Supreme Court case that is still in effect called Buck v. Bell that makes it's, like, legal for the state to decide to sterilize people under certain conditions, like, against their will. Like, We have a decades, 100-plus-year-long history of sterilizing prisoners against their will. In California, we've done it. We've done it everywhere, everywhere. People that are, like, teen moms, people who are mentally ill. Like, we, like, all in the name of promoting, like, a super race or, like,
yeah.
promoting, like, optimal babies. And this is just the same thing,
right.
but worse
right.
and more expensive.
Worse, more expensive, no guaranteed track rate, and no, like, benefit to society. Like, again, this is all just like weird selfish stuff with no regard for the person that is going to become, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe this would have been a happier person if you just like let them have brown eyes.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe also, not like, in the Sydney Sweeney universe.
Yeah. No, not in Sydney
Sweeney. You gotta have the blue planet. Ones because those are the good genes.
Those are the good ones. Those are the good ones. One of my kids has green eyes.
Cool.
Like,
those are good too. Those are good too.
Yeah. they're like green with like gold on the inside. They're very beautiful, but I think that she's like more sensitive to sunlight. I think if you have light color eyes, you're like more
it's
sensitive.
It's true. They say that
sunlight.
Like, I mean, if a blue eyed person wants to weigh in, I've heard that like if like they go out and it's snowy out and the sun hits the snow, they're like blinded for a second. Not
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I can see.
Me neither. Take that, Sydney.
Exactly. I'm going to put a bunch of snow outside of her house.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Take that, Sydney. Yeah, you're the real villain here, Sydney Sweeney.
Just cash your check, girl. You need it.
You know, I also think that this is like, you know, I when I was having, you know, pregnant with my two kids, they do screen for like genetic issues like mm-hmm. Trisomy 13, Trisomy 21. So like Down syndrome and like there are some unsurvivable like genetic issues that you can that they can pick up on. Mm-hmm. And there's like a lot of ethical debate around that even because in places like Iceland and Denmark where they screen for that normally and everybody gets prenatal care, almost no babies with Down syndrome are born. And like most people who find out that they're going to like have a baby with Down syndrome like choose to terminate the pregnancy just because there's so many variables with like how independent this person will ever be and like a lot of parents choose. But there's like ethical concerns around that. Like and that is like the range of possibilities of the level of a person's disability in that circumstance is huge. And so like anyway, so it's like you know, they give you genetic screenings when you're pregnant. I got like this massive genetic panel when I was pregnant with my little one that like told me all of the like genetic disorders that I possibly could pass on and like what the likelihood was of like someone else have. It's crazy what they can already screen for using like mother blood, like maternal blood. And this just seems like a really weird thing to say. Also, like, in what world do we not benefit from having people that are like neurodivergent? Hyper-focused people.
Right. I mean, there's that. There's also just, like, to me, I go to the place of, like, it's a slippery slope. Because it's like, okay, well, let's say we completely eradicate all of these disabilities from the earth, which is not a good thing. It's just a choice that could be made, allegedly, according to this company. Mm-hmm. So then what? We're going to just start, like, we're going to get bored, and how do they keep making money? They're going to be like, well, if you have macular degeneration, you might, you know, lose your sight when you're 80. You don't want your kid to lose their sight when they're 80. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe they can lose their sight when they're 80. Maybe they could just... Let's just see how it happens. Like, I think that, like, the point for them is to make money. And maybe this is, like, and I think that it's all based on fear, right? Which is, like, fair. People want to do what they think is right. And with more information come more variables. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to make money forever. So if they can do what they say, it is going to be a slippery slope. Well, you don't want a kid that gets dark in the sun. Well, you don't want a kid with red hair. Well, you don't want a kid with freckles. Well, you don't, like... There's a million things they can start solving for. Mm-hmm. But what are they solving? Their own, like, lack of flush cash, I feel.
You know, and all of this goes out the window. All the genetic stuff goes out the window if the kid gets a really bad head injury when they're young enough.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
you get let
exactly.
them play. Oh, you screen this kid for like, whatever, and now you're going to let him play football. Oh, you're going to let him play soccer. You're going to let him play hockey. Okay, well.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, guess
they didn't screen for the stop sign usage in your neighborhood. Darn.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, Come on.
It is people preying on a fundamentally uncontrollable aspect of, like, human existence.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it goes. Really quick, I just wanted to hit on this before we take a quick break. The CDC reported that the U.S. fertility rate means the number of babies per woman. Fertility rate doesn't mean, like, how fertile women are. Like,
right.
I hate that people are like, why is it fertility?
I hate the phrasing. Wouldn't it be birth rate?
Yeah, I think it's just fertility rate is like how many children the average woman of reproductive age has. But people always quibble with like the verbiage, and it's like a demographic term. So just putting that out there. But the fertility rate hit a new low in 2024 with fewer than 1.6 children born per woman. 2.1 children per woman is the amount that each generation needs to replace itself. But that has been it's been close to two decades since the U.S. has had that rate. The rate is on par with most Western European countries. What do you think about this, Akilah? Does this make sense to you?
100%. 100%. 100%. I believe that, you know, life is too expensive. Opportunity is too scarce. Housing is too dire. The climate is changing too rapidly. We're in a time that feels really impossible to support yourself, much less a full family. And I think that these are all based on eras where, like, they could do that on one income even. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised. You know, you have people like Elon Musk, who is projected to become a trillionaire, who is, like, spreading his disgusting seed all over the earth. The problem is he needs to make more of himself. Like, there's just not going to be enough kids to replace a generation of people. Mm-hmm. And even with all of the eugenicist shit, like, there's just not going to be enough to support an aging demographic. Like, we're just going to have a children of men scenario where mm-hmm. everybody's old, nobody's young. I think that the situation here has to just get better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the birth rate isn't declining in places that have less inequality. So mm-hmm. we maybe actually have to address that. But with the administration we currently have, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this, like, really, really quick. I think that there is no getting around the biological cost of having children on the body and lives of women. There's just no getting around it. And mm-hmm. there are some people that are like, I could be swayed to have children if I could afford a house big enough for me and my children to be comfortable. That there are definitely people like that. Or I would have more kids if childcare were affordable. I would have more kids if I had longer paid leave. There are mm-hmm. plenty of people like that. But there is a part of the population that is sticky. That is like, mm-hmm. I straight up don't want to do that to myself. And that is like valid. That is valid. And there's no convincing those people. There is no, and I feel like even if we did all of these like humane things that we should be doing, like making housing more affordable to families, making school, like, you know, funding schools, like making sure that our kids are safe. Like, those things are kind of gimmies. But I don't think that even if we do all those things, we're going to get the birth rate up to where people want the birth rate to be, because it sucks. Like, if you're for a woman, it's like kind of a raw deal. And I say this, like, I've got two kids. It sucks. And it's really hard, and I think people are telling the truth about it more than ever. And so people that are on the fence have more access to information, and they're making educated decisions that being a mom is not for them, which is completely valid. On that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Hysteria is brought to you by Ritual. Erin, do you always get your vegetables?
Yes, because I'm growing them now.
Fuck, that's so cool.
I know. I mean, honestly, you want me to give you some kale? I got a bushel of it. Every single day I go outside, I'm like, how?
Do you have a hat with a tomato on it?
No, but I should. I should have a hat with a tomato on. But, like, during the winter, it's a little bit tougher because, like,
yeah, the up kale, here for
the,
sure.
The greens aren't greening as much, if you will.
Well, Erin, Ritual's Essential for Women 18 and Over multivitamin isn't exactly a salad in a pill, but it is formulated to help you fill key nutrient gaps that you might not be getting enough from your diet.
Ooh. You know what I like about Ritual?
Tell me.
Like, not only is it just a simple way to take care of a bunch of things that I need all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like having to, you know, my husband takes, like, a bunch of different pills. Like, and he has the big, like, and he puts them all in his, like, little case every week. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Oh, really?
I'm a lazy, lazy person. I just want to take one. I just want
to. You're a lazy pill popper.
I'm a lazy pill popper. Yeah. That's probably why I've never had a pill problem, because I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to open another thing. what I love about Ritual is that it takes care of so many of my needs in just 2 pills a day, and it tastes minty. It's just one bottle to be sitting on my shelves. I don't need to have any more clutter. It also is effective. Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential Women 18 and Over multivitamin to assess its efficacy, and the results were pretty encouraging. It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks.
This is true, Erin, because I actually have had 4 years a vitamin D deficiency. And when my levels were tested, my vitamin D was up, and I have been taking Ritual.
Amazing. Well, there you
go.
Who knew? Anecdata from Alyssa Mastromonaco.
That's Ritual, me.
Ritual's essential third-party tested for heavy metals and clean label project certified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. They are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen-free, and made traceable.
Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. Get 25% off your first month only at ritual.com/hysteria. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 and Over to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/hysteria for 25% off.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods. Ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are resurrecting their South Park Saddam Hussein voice to try to get their 3-year-old to eat her vegetables. Or maybe that's just me. I'm not going to do it this week. Maybe next week I'll do it. I need a little bit more time to perfect it before I release it to the masses. But it's pretty good. You're going to be eating broccoli by the time you're done hearing me say it. Before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. As a listener of this Crooked Media podcast, we wanted you to be the first to know that Crooked just announced its first ever CrookedCon in Washington, D.C. CrookedCon is a first annual or once-in-a-lifetime chance to join America's smartest organizers and least annoying politicians to strategize, debate, and commiserate about where we go from here. Hopefully up. There can't be much more down. Yikes. On Friday, November 7th, Crooked will be joined by some of the most influential names in politics for a full day of conversations, workshops, and live pods as we all figure out how to build the big pro-democracy movement we need to defeat rising authoritarianism before, or maybe after, it's too late. If you like this podcast, you're definitely going to love Crooked Con. And while we can't say officially, I'd say there's a strong chance that we'll be there. Wink, wink. So get those tickets while you can. Head to crookedcon.com for tickets, lineup announcements, and more. That's CrookedCon.com. And we have a discount code that you can use to buy your November 7th ticket early. It's freedom and content. One word, all caps. Freedom and content. Discount tickets are limited, so act fast. Okay, now let's get to Sandy Petty. Akilah, are you feeling sane or petty this week? Or some combination of both?
I'm feeling kind of petty. I think that this Epstein stuff is just going on too long. And so, you know, if I have the floor, I think it's time to shit or get off the pot. Like, I'm excited for South Park to keep, you know, rubbing Donald Trump's face in it. I think that things are preparing to get really bad this fall with all of the changes that have been made in the country with the big, beautiful bill, which is a horrible bill. And so I kind of just feel like nothing's hitting hard enough. It's the end of summer. We don't have a song of summer. We don't have, like, the culture is stagnant. We're all just waiting for these files that won't come. I'm looking for the hackers. Hack them. You don't have to hack people who are on an app trying to find love or trying to, like, avoid death. You can hack the government. Get rid of our student loans. Do something interesting. Yeah. I just feel like so I'm feeling petty because I'm, like, I'm upset. I have proposals, and I just wish that people would take them seriously. I think that we need to start making some moves. We're really just kind of standing in water right now.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I have a sanity corner this week, and it works with the Epstein stuff that you're talking about. Also, I feel like there are people at the FBI and possibly people in DOJ who have seen the contents of the Epstein file.
Elon allegedly, he said.
Yes. Okay. Now your moral responsibility is to release it to the public. That is, that's what needs to happen next. Get that out. Get that shit out there. Give it to a journalist who can, like, go through, remove all the CSAM references or whatever, and, like, then, like, get it out. So, yes, I'm totally with you. I think but I don't think it's going away. And I don't think that, all of these people, these elected officials who went home to their deep red districts are not having a good time unless they, like, Ted Cruz, like, fucked off to Greece or something.
There must be a disaster imminent in Texas if he's on vacation.
Oh, no. Stay where you are. We talked about this last week. Ted Cruz, please remain in Texas.
Right. If you see him at the airport, redirect him to the parking lot.
Yes. He should be on the no-fly list.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so mine is a sanity corner. I am a huge South Park fan, and I've been for a very long time. I really love the show. I really love what they're doing this season. The season premiere featured Donald Trump with a flappy head and the same voice as Saddam Hussein that Matt Stone used to do at the beginning of the show. It's, like, very obviously leading us down the path where it's like, we have a dictator in charge of our country. And that's, you know, the point that it's making. It's great. I'm loving the ride, though. I love that he's him and Satan are lovers, and Satan is kind of like
not into it.
he's just, like, sad. He's put upon. There's a lot that he's really given it his all, and, like, you know, now Trump is just reminding him of his ex. I can handle the micropenis stuff. It's fine. It's just, like, really funny. It feels like a return to vintage South Park. They're in such, like, double finger don't give a fuck mode.
Yes.
A $1.25 or $1.5 billion deal with Paramount.
right, like, before they can't back out.
I feel like Donald Trump is mad about it. Next week seems to feature a Charlie Kirk type figure. And Charlie Kirk has already said that he's really excited for it. I just got to say, if you see yourself in a South Park preview, you probably shouldn't be excited about it. Like, something really bad is going to be done to that character.
Yeah. I mean, like, he made his whole Twitter or X profile, like, the picture of Cartman and all of them. Like, you know, we're all just going to screen grab that for when you're just, like, getting your cheeks clapped on this show, right? Like,
yeah.
That's going to be the reaction. Like, remember when you were so excited for this? No, you wanted this. This is good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I feel like Trey Parker and Matt Stone are smarter than any of the people that are trying to criticize it from the right now. And I just love it. I love where it's going. Yeah. I love that it's gross and sophomoric and at the same time brilliant and mean. And it's great. And it's been my sanity corner. I mean, it's like my comfort show. Like, I will watch even, like, the ones that I disagree with where I'm like, well, this is, like, kind of ridiculing a political stance that I have, but I'll allow it because they do such a good job making it funny. Like the Man Bear Pig episode.
Totally.
They made fun of Al Gore. And then later they made an episode where, like, Man Bear Pig was real and, like, was terrorizing South Park. Anyway, I love South Park. I'm really excited for the new season. I'm really glad that they got their giant deal and they're doing as much as possible to not ever have to make episodes again by being, like, as completely out of pocket as possible. And I super love it. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Akilah Hughes, thank you so much for joining me. You are always such a delight. Love your laugh.
Thanks.
Love your whole thing. Podcast. Listeners, if you want to check out Akilah's podcast, How Is This Better? It's available wherever you get podcasts. And new episodes come out on Fridays.
Fridays, yes.
It's a great day. It's a great day to drill down on something that is gotten worse.
Yes.
listeners, we love you so much. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. Please don't send love notes because multiple people read that email address. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seguin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.